This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi walhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My beloved brothers and sisters, it is only correct for us to commence by remembering our brothers and sisters in what we as Muslims know as the third holiest masjid, known as the third haram, which is Masjid al-Aqsa in Palestine. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, make it easy for them, grant them goodness, safeguard them, and may Allah grant us the allowance to visit there again and again, for indeed it is the third most sacred place for the Muslims in terms of the masajid and the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, this evening being the 27th of this beautiful month in this part of the world, we recited beautiful verses in the Taraweeh. And I think it's only apt and correct for me to go through some of these verses, because there is a lot that can be said. For us as Muslimin, we believe, we know what's right and what's wrong, but we need a reminder, because the reminding helps those who truly believe. Allah says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And remind, for indeed the reminding that is constant benefits those who truly believe. My beloved brothers and sisters, right at the beginning of Surah Al-Mujadila or Al-Mujadala, there is mention made of a woman who was maltreated by her husband and went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to complain to him, saying that I am actually complaining to Allah about my husband. And the story was something that I'm not going to go into detail about, but the reality is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still in the process of comforting her, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still telling her to bear a little bit of patience, etc. And this is brilliant advice. And in the interim, Allah revealed verses. قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. Allah has heard the one, the woman who has come to you complaining about her husband. وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. And she is complaining to none other than Allah. From this what we learn, my brothers and sisters, treat your spouses correctly. Ensure that when you speak to one another, you address each other, bearing in mind that more than anything else, this is a worshipper of Allah, a slave of Allah, a creature of Allah. And Allah's created mankind as ashraful makhluqat, which means the most noble of all creatures of Allah is actually humankind. And the most noble of all of us is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You have someone's son, you have someone's daughter, remember to treat them with respect at least. I always say there is only one thing that you mainly need for a happy marriage, and that is respect. With respect, everything else falls into place. No screaming, no shouting, no swearing, no abuse, no hurt, no lying, no cheating, etc. Because you respect each other. And if you respect each other for the sake of Allah, Allah is already in the equation before all of that. And that's how it should be. And this is why when we take each other in nikah, in the matrimonial bond, we always use the name of Allah. There are verses that are recited. There is something known as a khutbah, which means a little reminder or a sermon for us to remember. Only say that which is upright. قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. We've heard that so many times, right? Only say that which is upright. My brothers and sisters, I'm only going to speak about that when it comes to the first surah. But I want to move on to the next surah, Surah Al-Hashr. Surah Al-Hashr is a surah wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of many things. And among those things, something that is striking is how Allah describes the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. An amazing description. Imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were to praise someone in the Quran. It would automatically tell us these people are amazing. So you and I know that the people who were driven out of Mecca were known as the Muhajirun. They actually made hijrah. They made the migration. For the sake of Allah, they went to Medina Munawwara. And those were known as Al-Muhajirun. They made the hijrah. Hajra, they left their homes, their belongings, some of their relatives and whatever else. And they went firaran ila Allahi bidinihim. They ran towards Allah because of their deen. With their deen, in order to be able to fulfill their deen in a correct way, they went to Medina Munawwara. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that when they left everything, their businesses and everything else, surely they are from among those who are to be praised for doing that, for the sake of Allah. Allah Himself praised them. Listen to what He says. للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. Allah describes them initially to say, these poor muhajirun who actually made the hijrah for Allah, who were driven out of their homes and their wealth was usurped from them, they went in order to help the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah and His Rasul. That was the reason. Allah says, you know what? They were the truthful ones. Truthful in what sense? Let me explain. When it's very difficult to be a Muslim, then you're a Muslim, you cannot really be a hypocrite. That's why they say there were no hypocrites from the Sahaba who accepted Islam in Makkatul Mukarramah. Do you know why? It was so hard to be a Muslim. The minute you declare your Shahada, your family persecutes you, your community persecutes you, they harass you, they steal your wealth, they harm you, they plan your downfall, they might even plan to eradicate you, and so on. It's not a joke. You have to really and firmly believe. And Allah says, we will test you, just like we tested some others before you. Allah says, in order to distinguish between those who are truthful and those who are paying mere lip service to say that we are mu'mineen, but they are lying. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah tests us in order for Him, in order for us to be distinguished, those who are truthful, those who are not truthful. May Allah make us from those who are truthful. What will you sell your deen for? $5? $10? You might say no. $1 million? No. $5 million? No. $50 million? $500 million? What is it you want me to do? Astaghfirullah. Failing the test. Learn from the Sahaba. Ulaika humus sadiqun. They were the truthful ones. Allah calls them truthful to their iman. And then guess what happened? We have a problem on the globe today because the mu'mineen are in pieces. We don't care for each other. We want to see the downfall of one another. In business, if one is doing well, we want to actually make sure he is stopped because we are jealous of him, or we feel we are the only ones who are entitled to have a certain type of a business. If someone else opens a similar business down the road, we get so angry. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were prepared to divorce their wives in order for someone else to have a wife. I'm talking of those with multiple wives. Obviously, no one's asking you to fulfill that sunnah. But we are making mention of the sacrifice. Subhanallah. They were ready to do things. They said, we will split our wealth half-half with who? Total strangers. The only connection is La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. No other connection. You're ready to split half of your wealth with another person who's a Muslim from a different tribe, from a different area. Today, among the people of the same ethnicity, still we go back to the subcontinent in some ignorant ways and we say, but this person comes from another part of the same land, so therefore these people are bad. These people are hot-blooded. These people are liars and cheaters. Those are deceivers. This is what we know each other for. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. On a night like this, that jahiliyyah needs to be removed from our hearts. There is good and bad in every community. There is good and bad in every tribe. There is good and bad in every race. It's not only for one and not the other. Take out that jahiliyyah. An-nasu sawasiya ka asnanil mish. People are equal like the teeth of a comb. Subhanallah. You really want to benefit from Laylatul Qadr. Wallahi, I guarantee you that if your life has changed on a night like this and you feel something within you move, Allah has granted you the acceptance. Like you can go for Hajj. Some people say, I went for Hajj 32 times. I met an uncle a few weeks back in another country. He told me, I haven't missed a Hajj in the last 20 years. In my mind, I thought to myself, MashaAllah, Allah has blessed people. But I was too shy to ask the uncle to say, but did your life change? SubhanAllah, I'm just hoping it has. Because if it changed even once, that was sufficient for you. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Whoever is able and capable, you have to make an effort to go for that Hajj. We, years back, had no quota. You wanted to go for Hajj, chances were 100%, almost. From a visa perspective. I'm sure the older ones from amongst us would know. Now it's become different. Things are changing. As time passes, it will become more and more difficult. That's why as soon as Hajj is compulsory on you, no matter how age you are, how old you are, you must make an effort to go. And when you go, your life must change. That's when you know my Hajj was accepted. We pass Ramadan. The hadith says, whoever stands in Taraweeh with iman, yaqeen, conviction, hoping for a reward from Allah throughout the month of Ramadan, Allah says they will exit the month of Ramadan having been forgiven totally of all their sins. Taraweeh is not a joke. It's not a joke. And the same is said about the one who fasts correctly throughout the whole month. And fasting, by the way, is not only about those three things. It's about more than those three things. You might be wondering, what's the third thing? Well, when you're fasting, you're not allowed to eat or drink or engage in permissible sexual relations with your spouse. Those are the three things. Notice how I worded it. To be very honest, it's more than that. You're not allowed to say a bad word. You're not allowed to lie, to cheat, to deceive, to utter hurtful, abusive words. You must speak respectfully. It is Ramadan. Ramadan is basically trying to make you realize what a true Muslim should be throughout the entire year. That is Allah. He gives you a gift. If you think carefully, when Allah says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting has been prescribed upon you just like it has been prescribed upon those before you in order that you achieve taqwa. Now, if you look, the timing of Ramadan is perfect. The ninth month of the lunar year, superb. The exact duration of it, 29 or 30 days, superb. If it was more, we wouldn't have enjoyed it. If it was less, we wouldn't have felt it. Allah says, we chose it for you. Imagine, do you know when you see the moon of Ramadan, what happens first thing is we start preparing for Taraweeh. Right or wrong? As soon as you enter the masjid and the first Allahu Akbar starts and you hear that, Alif Lam Mim. Wallahi, you are already in full swing Ramadan. Full swing. The spirituality is felt. Everything changes with that first Taraweeh. For the next whole month, it's going to be different. That is the blessing of Allah. Allah's telling you, do you feel it? The answer is, yes, I do. I want to ask you, Laylatul Qadr, you feel it. You should be feeling it. I must sit and I must understand. Did my life change? Did something move in me? Did I cry regarding the sins I've committed? If I have, good news to you. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. That night of decree and Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. If you have got it even once in your life, you are a winner. May Allah grant it to us over and over again. Spend every one of those last 10 nights in some ibadah. But you need to realize, clean your heart. Why do we say clean your heart? Because my brothers and sisters, look at those muhajirun who Allah says they were the truthful ones when, subhanallah, the people from Medina welcomed them. Those were known as Al-Ansar, the helpers. Al-Ansar. Think of the term Ansar, the helpers. Some of the greatest men ever to exist. Subhanallah. The Muhajirun, the Ansar. What happened? وَالَّذِينَ تَبَوَّأُوا الدَّارَ وَالْإِيمَانَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ يُحِبُّونَ مَنْ هَاجَرَ إِلَيْهِمْ. Allahu Akbar. These people who opened their homes for the muhajirun, and they love those who made hijrah to them. Are you prepared to love a stranger just because they say la ilaha illallah? The answer is no in the case of most of us. That's where we have gone wrong. It's a fact of life. Why does Allah talk about these people? If they were not important, they would not have been made mention of in the Quran in such a positive way. Because this is the root of the ummah. The ummah will never succeed unless it goes back to those qualities in that root. Do you feel for your brothers? Someone is a different color, you got a problem with him. Someone is a different race, you got an issue with him. Someone's a different nationality, you got an issue with. The problem is with all of us. So all I'm saying, inshallah, make an intention here and now. I'm going to change this heart of mine. Something needs to happen. I must be a respectful human being. I must understand life is so short. We've lost so many to this pandemic. May Allah protect us. It's the will of Allah, indeed. But the lesson is, no one has a guarantee that you're going to see Fajr. Fajr is too far. My brothers and sisters, we need to do something. Here are verses recited to us. And Allah is saying, those who came thereafter. So He speaks about Muhajirun and the Ansar. Then He speaks about those who followed. That could include you and me. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Those who came thereafter, they made dua of forgiveness for themselves. And they say, oh Allah, forgive us. And forgive our brothers who have preceded us in Iman, the seniors from amongst us and those who've passed on, starting from the very beginning all the way down to us. Oh Allah, forgive all of them. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Here's that quality I was talking about. Oh Allah, do not allow a single droplet of animosity and enmity or hatred or negativity in our hearts for anyone who has believed. That's a dua. Who will make that dua? Those who truly follow the Muhajirun and the Ansar. They make a dua. Oh Allah, let us never hate someone who's a mu'min. Let us never have ill feeling, animosity, jealousy, whatever the negativity of the heart is towards a fellow Muslim. No, it shouldn't be. And you know what Allah calls those Ansar? Allah says, because they protected themselves from the love of the dunya and they were prepared to give in a selfless way. They were not selfish. Allah says, وَمَن يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whoever can protect themselves from selfishness are the truly successful. What is this dunya? How much do you have? How much do you have? You have more than others. Do you know that it's a bigger test from Allah? Thank Allah. Humble yourself. When you have lots of knowledge, be humble. When you have good looks, be humble. When you have lots of wealth, be humble. When you have a lot of authority and power, be humble. Because there are others who have much more than you and they are much more humble than you. They've already passed the test. Having been given the opportunity by Allah to travel a little bit throughout the globe, sometimes you see people, you can cry and tell yourself, wallahi, these people are packing away their Jannah. Who are we? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. So this is Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah makes mention of many things. And this is one of them. To say the Muhajirun, the Ansar, and those who follow. May Allah make us from those who follow. We have thereafter Surah Al-Mumtahana. In it, I want to mention one thing. You know, in life, we sometimes don't like people. For some reason, you're a human, I'm a human being. Sometimes you just want to keep away from someone. Hatred is a very high, big word. It's a very big word. For among the believers, it shouldn't even be a word. You say, perhaps you might dislike someone. You might have had a raw deal. You might have this. Clean your heart. That's what I said. And remember, when you love someone, love them in moderation. You know why? When you love them beyond any limit, that love only belongs to Allah. But when you love them beyond any limit, you might end up talking to them, telling them things, saying things that tomorrow, when you are no longer friends, they will hold you ransom with what you told them. They know a little bit too much about you. It's hard, you're stuck. You're like enslaved. أَحْبِبْ حَبِيبَكَ هَوْنَمَّا عَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ بَغِيضَكَ يَوْمًا. When you love someone, love him or her in moderation. MashaAllah, beautiful love. But there's certain things you need to hold back on. Relax, take it easy. You know why? One day you might not have that love anymore. Then what will happen? The same applies when you dislike someone. Be careful what you say about them. Don't be cursing and don't be harmful, hurtful to the degree that one day when Allah creates love between you and the one you used to hate, it's embarrassing. Because they remember what you said and what you did. Subhanallah. أَبْغِضْ بَغِيضَكَ هَوْنًا مَا عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَكُونَ حَبِيبَكَ يَوْمًا مَا. When you dislike someone, detest them, in moderation, be calm, relax. Maybe stay away in a nice way. Allah says, وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. When you stay away, when you actually have literally, you know, you don't want to talk to someone, do it in a sweet way, in a beautiful way. In fact, among the believers, Allah says, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. When the ignorant address you, you just say, salam, and you walk away. You walk away. Nowadays, all the kids, they don't say, assalamu alaikum. Have you noticed? They just say, salam. Subhanallah. Allah grant us ease. I'm sure it's not from the verse. It's actually wrong. You should be saying the full salam. It is an ibadah. Assalamu alaikum. That alif at the beginning will earn you a reward. Say it nicely. Assalamu alaikum. Add to that, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What are you losing? You're gaining free rewards. The angels are making the dua for you too. Change your life. Greet properly. Subhanallah. Respond to the greeting also nicely. It's a great act of worship. Imagine someone's asking for the blessings, the mercy and forgiveness of Allah for you. If that dua is accepted as the greeting is exchanged, you are successful. You are successful. So Allah says in this surah, عَسَى اللَّهُ أَن يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ عَادَيْتُمْ مِنْهُمْ مَوَدَّةً. Allah is all able and capable to create love between you and your enemy. He did it. Abu Sufyan, who was he? Khalid ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, who was he? These were enemies of Islam. At one stage, they became most beloved. You know, Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu says, there was a time when there was nothing more hated to me than the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there came a time when there was nothing more beloved to me than the same name. Allahu Akbar. Look at how Allah changes the hearts. And continue to make a dua. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahu Akbar. Beautiful dua. Oh Allah, the turner of the hearts, turn our hearts towards your deen. Keep it steadfast. My brothers and sisters, these are beautiful verses of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in so many ways. We have a verse we read this evening. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu hal adullukum ala tijarah tunjikum min adhabin aleem. O you who believe, should I not show you a business that you can do that will save you from severe punishment? A business. Why business? Everyone's interested in business. Imagine someone says, can I show you a big business? You won't go wrong. And you say, yeah, tell me. And then they tell you, strive in the cause of Allah. You're going to say, I thought you were going to tell me something more interesting, right? Crypto or whatever else it might have been. Astaghfirullah. By the way, let's not talk about that. The reality is the true business is business with Allah. At-tijara ma'allah. That's the true business. What is it? I read Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr. Against all odds. Cold winter night. Geyser not working. No electricity. Cold water from a kettle. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. I did it because that's my tijara ma'allah. My business with Allah. I packed away one gold bar. Raka'ata al-fajri khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. This hadith has really taken up a lot of my own mind, because to think what the Prophet ﷺ said, he said the two raka'at of sunnah of fajr is better than the whole world and whatever it contains. We're sleeping, we're not interested, we couldn't be bothered, we're rushing for those two. That's why come early, because the true reward is for those who did it properly, not you rush through something. If the two raka'at of sunnah of fajr is so valuable, think of the others, the farad itself. What must it be? When the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah says that there is nothing more beloved to me than what I made farad. Why did Allah make things compulsory? Do you know the reason? He says the reason himself. He loves it, so he made it compulsory. So he loves it. So when you're doing farad, you're doing something that Allah really, really, really loves. Then when you do your sunnah and your nafil, you are increasing in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. I want to move on. Surah Al-Munafiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this particular surah, and it's named in a way that makes clear to us that they were hypocrites, and they are hypocrites. He mentions some of the qualities of the hypocrites. But at the same time, when we hear these qualities, we need to remind ourselves, protect ourselves from these qualities. The hadith makes mention of some of them quite clearly. That, you know, the qualities of a munafiq, when he speaks, he lies. When he is in an argument or a discussion, he explodes. When he promises, he breaks the promise. He breaks his trust. These are some of the qualities of the hypocrites. And then Allah says, يَحْسَبُونَ كُلَّ صَيْحَةٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. Oh, that's a heavy one. You know, sometimes the imam, I'm giving you, there's many examples that someone could give you, but I'm giving you one. If the imam is saying something that, you know, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that, and there's people amongst us thinking, this guy is hitting out at me. It happens, right? The guy is hitting out at me. It's because you're a hypocrite. That's why you're thinking that. Because the quality is in you. That's why. Imagine someone just came out of the pub and walked somewhere. And then the imam is talking about alcohol and the pubs and how the people do this and that. That's from Allah. The imam, he's probably just innocently talking because Allah guides people to say things that you and I need to hear. And then you start thinking, I think he's attacking me. You know what? He's not. Allah designed it for your ears. Because what got to you was never meant to miss you. That's the reason. Don't think so. Because why would you feel he's attacking you? Because you're guilty, right? If you were not guilty, would you feel that way? The answer is no. So there is an element of hypocrisy. You find what I'm saying? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Let's move on. We have Surah At-Talaq, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about talaq and various issues. But a powerful point that comes clear in these verses of Surah At-Talaq, Allah says, وَمَن يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whoever develops correct taqwa, Allah will always make a way out for that person. And Allah will bless them with sustenance from where they did not imagine. Why you didn't imagine? What do you need? Taqwa. What is taqwa? Taqwa is to create a barrier between you and the punishment of Allah. Some people say the fear of Allah, the consciousness of Allah. I like to say to create or to develop the correct relationship with Allah. That's what you need to do. What is the relationship? Oh, it's a massive thing. It's a lifelong dedication. Develop the correct relationship with Allah in everything. If you do that, what happens? You become a friend of Allah. Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Allah speaks of awliya'ullah in the Quran. Who are they? He says they are the ones who have two qualities. You want to be a friend of Allah, you need to believe and you need to have taqwa. That's it. And you can develop that to a level of wilaya. You can become a friend of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that friendship. My brothers and sisters, the verses continue. And they continue to say within those verses, whoever is conscious of Allah, Allah will open a way. Allah will grant him. Allah will forgive his sins and so many other things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a true opening. I want to end off with the last surah we read this evening, Surah At-Tahrim, where Allah tells us, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi tawbatan nasuha. O you who believe, return to Allah in a true way, in the most genuine and sincere way. Return to Allah in tawbah. Istighfar and tawbah are two different aspects of seeking the forgiveness of Allah. One, the istighfar bit is when you ask Allah to forgive you. That is astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. Then you say, wa atubu ilayk, and I return to you. I will come back onto the path. So I asked Allah to forgive me. That's istighfar. I changed my life. That is tawbah. You see the difference? Tawbah is far more encompassing than istighfar because it includes in it the element of seeking forgiveness. I can say, I'm sorry, but I did it again and again and I never changed anything. Are you really sorry? But I can say, you know what? I've changed my ways, my habits. I'm sorry for what happened in the past. Apologize, forgive me. It's not going to happen again. That's tawbah. May Allah grant us true tawbah. And that's why one of the verses filled with emotion is the only place in the Quran where Allah addresses the kuffar by saying, Ya ayyuhalladhina kafaru. What do you think that address will be? You know, when Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe. It is only when you have true iman in your heart that you quickly want to know, what did he say? You know why? He's talking to me. But when you don't feel like a mu'min, the verses are read and it doesn't even bat an eyelid of yours. You know why? Because you don't even consider yourself truly a mu'min. That shouldn't be the case. As soon as you hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, oh, my eyes are open, my ears are open, I want to know Allah's talking to me. What is he saying? So imagine Allah always honors the believers. When it comes to the disbelievers, only once he says, Oh, you who disbelieve. And this is an address for the day of judgment. La ta'tadhiru al-yawm. Don't present any excuses today. You are only being given the recompense of what you used to do. May Allah forgive our shortcomings. Brothers and sisters, never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. These are the days of repentance, resetting your relationship with Allah on the night of Qadr, rekindling your relationship with Allah, starting afresh, making sure that you do the right thing. No matter what people say, this is the right thing. I have a relationship with Allah. I must purify my heart. I must follow the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to the best of my abilities. And I must try to resolve matters instead of creating matters. May Allah bless every one of us. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.